Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are going to be talking about one of the hottest topics in the Microsoft ecosystem with my good man, Dux. How's it going over there, Mr. Dux?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How are you? I like this new mic. I feel like I'm in the recording studio.
Yeah, well, your audio is improved, and that is always a good thing. A step up is always a step forward. And there has been, well, there's always a lot of news every time we talk. But this one, I don't think I ever thought we would talk about the word or say the company name Oracle on this podcast. But yet here we are. And I think it's just more of a symbolic thing. That's why I wanted to bring it up. But Oracle has announced at Oracle World, which took place this week, that they are now going to be supporting Teams with their digital assistant. And that's just another giant name behind Microsoft's fastest growing or fastest adopted application.
I mean, two things to that. First, I think it's great that you're seeing the adoption not only from organization, but frankly, the vendors and the partners as well, realizing that Teams is the way to go. Teams is the new one-stop shop for everybody in the organization. And Oracle jumping on the bandwagon, having these digital assistants like Siri, Cortana, Alexa, just makes sense because they still have a big foothold in a lot of organizations, especially large organizations around the world, and taking advantage of the use of AI and chatbots, it just makes sense. And I'm sure how it will surface in Teams, it would just pretty much show up as like a chatbot.
Yeah, it's going to enable a lot of what you would expect, self-service applications inside the Oracle world. So if you are using Teams and you're also using a lot of Oracle products, this is more than likely going to be a good thing that's just going to help you optimize your workflow. They're also promoting that, hey, it might cut down on IT support tickets because once again, there's that self-service functionality. So hopefully it's going to be a win for everybody involved.
You know, one thing, speaking about bots and Teams, one thing I can't wait to see is the ability for people not only to chat with a digital assistant via text, but actually talk to it. Because if you think about it now, the technology's there through Azure Cognitive Services. So what we're using today mostly is text, but imagine if you can call a bot and literally talk to the bot. Hey, what's the weather today? Hey, what happened with this customer? Hey, what's the latest update on this opportunity? That would be huge.
So I was gonna crack a joke here, but then you brought up an actual point that might be very valid. And to me, what you just said, that the part that hit home was being able to call a bot and say, how'd it go with X customer? Because that is not a linear question. There's multiple facets to that. It could be, oh, look, we got three more meetings scheduled for follow-on. X employee booked, I don't know, $20,000 in sales. It could hit multiple. That is an interesting question. That is a really interesting use case.
And it ties in beyond bots and Teams. I saw an article from Mary Jo a couple of days ago about calendar.help becoming a full-fledged product, which is great because this helps schedule meetings and helps with your calendaring applications. But engaging with it beyond text and talking to it, I mean, Google's doing it already. Microsoft's doing it in China with Xiaoice. And why not bring that capability to the enterprise? That would be huge.
It's an interesting thought. It really is. It really is. That's actually a very, very salient point. Interesting.
I got things to think today.
Yeah, it's good. You got my noodle kind of stirring the pot, if you will, with that. Because I had a perfect joke lined up to crack, but I'm not going to even mention it now. But anyways, other things that are happening, Mr. Tony Redman over on Petri.com, which is we're a big fan of Petri.com around here. Outlook plans to synchronize email signatures across devices. This is something I kind of thought was already built in, but obviously not. But that's going to help make things, at least from a corporate mandate and compliance thing, that's going to be a big win.
Love it. Love it. I dread the days when I have to, I know it's a first world problem, but when I update my laptop, get a new phone, I always have to put it in my signature. So love that.
Yeah, it's just going to make your lives or everybody's life just a little bit easier. And it's those little things that really add up. To your point, when you drop your laptop and you got to, re-image it, you usually don't think about your signature until you've already sent a couple emails and you're like, yep. So there you go. There you go. Other things that Microsoft has announced before we get to a listener question, which Dux has some good information on. Microsoft also, somewhat surprisingly, but not all that surprisingly, I guess, announced a bunch of dates for their upcoming 2020 conferences, including Build being May 19th through the 21st in Seattle, Inspire July 20th through the 24th in Vegas, and the Business Application Summit happening April 20th through the 21st in Anaheim, California. But there's also a big one right around the corner here, Ducks 2, isn't there?
That's right, called Ignite.
Big one coming. So that's happening early November down in Orlando. That should be a good time.
This is a really smart move. I mean, people out there were saying, well, Microsoft did this because, especially for Build, like last year when they announced it, Google announced their conference, which was almost the same week or back to back. I think that's one thing good about it. But second is really from a scheduling perspective.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, they put this out there. A lot, you know, we're heading towards the end of the year. And people are putting together their ask and budget for next year. So as Microsoft publishes this schedule, be it IT pros, developers, or business folks can say, hey, on this day, I want to go to the Business Application Summit. So they can put in their budget requests and all that good stuff versus the year comes in and they just announce it and there may not be budget for it.
Yeah, and it's one, I am fully backing that Microsoft doing this. It's not like these events are some major surprise. We know what they are roughly every single time of the year. And to your point, it makes my life easier because I go to some of these and now I can at least put it on the calendar. I mean, real simple things, just like now my wife knows exactly when I'm going to be gone. She always knows that May is a rough travel month. And now we've got some of the dates already locked down. So, you know, kudos to Microsoft. I'm happy that they are doing this.
Same here. And for me, especially.
Oh, yeah, running. You got travel.
Running marketing for a global organization, that helps me plan out for next year too, so which is good.
Exactly. All right, Ducks, question du jour. This comes in from a listener to the podcast. He says, Teams adoption is going poorly. Conversations are flowing more and more back to email. How do I help my users stay inside the Teams universe?
That's a great question. And one, you know, a couple of things I want to say, and actually I'm going to show just to help people understand this better. So at the end of the day, Teams is great, don't get me wrong, but it's a tool. And the key thing that we can never forget, before we throw out a new tool out there, we got to take something away. Because if we keep throwing something new out there, especially for our colleagues in the business, you know, they're busy enough, they have so much stuff going on, and then you give them one more thing, the adoption may be hot and heavy initially, but it'll dwindle down for sure because people will go back to what they're used to. So going back to the question, how do you make people use Teams and not go back to email? So I'm going to share my experience. So real quick, when we deployed Teams 2 years ago, the day Satya announced it, we use in my organization, to my specific team, we took a baby step. The first thing we did is I said, look, Teams is great for group communication and group email. In the next 3-4 weeks, we will stop doing group email and group communications. We will do everything in Teams. I know we'll stumble, but we have to hold ourselves accountable that we do this. So I gave everybody 3 chances saying, look, if you have the urge to fire up an email, put people's name and start attaching documents, don't do that. Do it on Teams. The only time you use email is if you have one-on-one type of conversation or something that's not at in a hurry, then fine, email is fine, right? So I wanna share my screen with you because I wanna walk through what we did and how effective it is. And once we've done it, it became a habit, and then we started doing that since. So here's something I want to show you. This is a let me bring it up here real quick. Expand this. Do you see this, Brad?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay. So my colleague Spencer, he takes care of all of our webinars, and if you look at these message, he's announcing this to our team. This is team marketing. And everybody in marketing sees this. He says, new webinar, August 7, delegating administration. Hey, everyone, we have a webinar on this day and this time. We'll feature Docs, John, and Hunter. Here's a link to the landing page. Here's a link to the graphics page. Can the following that are tagged please help with distribution promotion? Megan, Sarah, Kate, etc. FYI, Michael, Chisa, Joanne, etc. So if you look at this message, it looks no different than an email sent to a bunch of people. Would you agree, Brad?
Yep.
But the difference is this, right? You know, if you send an email to a bunch of people with attachment, what's going to happen next if this was an email?
Yeah, you're gonna end up with just a sprawling list of things to try to maintain.
Yeah, people are asking questions, comments, what about this, what about that? So a couple of things happen here, right? So first of all, people that were FYI, like CC, they selected light. They said, agreed, I read it, good stuff. And even people who weren't mentioned in this chat thread or conversation thread, they even liked it, meaning, oh, wow, this is good information. And this is another benefit, right? People normally that may not have been part of the email, but still part of the team, sees this and now is aware of it. Next, then people who's going to be impacted by this would say, hey, Annie, Eva, Spencer, I would like to invite German customers as well. Can we do this? Spencer has an update. Sarah had a question. Mm-hmm. Michael had a comment. So having the information this way is much easier not only to engage, but also to track and consume. As you know, I travel so much. I use Teams heavily on my phone. So I can see all this. And even if I am not mentioned, I can go through all the interactions and work the team has done during the day. So going back to the question, how do you prevent people from going back to email? First and foremost, the team collectively has to agree, this is how we're going to work moving forward. This is how we're going to communicate with teams. And give it a few weeks and make it a habit. A habit takes 21 days to stick. So start with that, right? And that's what we started with. And then shortly after that, we looked after other use cases. Mm-hmm. How do we track projects in Teams? How do we bring in Power BI to Teams? So now we work everything in Teams. But again, very fundamental, if you introduce something new, take something away. And what we took away in this scenario, no more group email, no more group conversations within email.
There you go. That is a strategy that can definitely help some people who are struggling, because I suspect that use or that scenario is not unique, right? Anytime you try to introduce a new workflow, there's going to be adoption pains. There's no way to beat around that bush. And so that is some good advice from somebody who has quite literally been in the trenches of all of these migrations.
Thank you, sir. And like I said, technology is technology. At the end of the day, change is hard. So people on the top, people on the team, everybody has to agree and commit to doing it.
Yep. Speaking of, well, it's not so much changing ducks. You're on the road a bit. What's going on in your life? What's going on in the AvePoint world, the ducks world? What's happening with you, my man?
Boy, speaking of on the road, I just got back from Las Vegas, attended the Microsoft Digital Transformation Academy. If you're not familiar with that, it's essentially the kickoff of the Microsoft US organization. Met with a lot of great peers and colleagues at Microsoft talking about the explosion of Teams. So it's all about Teams. We're in solid partnership with Microsoft, helping drive organizations to use and adopt Teams. So that's been top of mind, and what's coming up till the rest of the year, you know, I'll definitely see you at Ignite. Mm-hmm. But before that, I'll be in Melbourne in between Australia next week, doing Teams workshops for a bunch of customers. And then I'll be heading to Stockholm, Sweden as well sometime in October. So a lot of good traction around Teams, and really excited about how we partner with Microsoft in enhancing the Teams experience, especially for organizations needing advanced capabilities around Teams retention and backup, and also Teams governance. So that's what's in the horizon, and looks like nothing stopping Teams from continuing to grow.
Or you, for that matter, my man. I was curious. I was wondering how many miles. Well, we should revisit this at the end of the year. I'm curious how many miles you've traveled this year, because it's
so right now I'm at I looked at it 2 days ago. I'm on 162,000 miles.
Now, are you loyal to a carrier, or is that spread across?
As much as I can. I fly United and Star Alliance to get all the points. But there are places in the world where it's just tough to stay in the same carrier. Yeah.
Gotcha. Very, very cool. Well, obviously safe journeys. And well, we'll have one more before Ignite, and then we will be podcasting from Ignite, actually very likely from the AvePoint booth, where if you're not familiar, there's going to be a Ducati that I'm going to win. This is my year.
I don't know about if you're gonna win it, but we'll try. We'll try.
Hey, well, I've tried every year. Maybe this will be my year, Ducks. This will be my year. But we very much appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and your busy travel time for talking Teams, talking adoption, and all that good stuff to everybody else. We'll include links down to Ducks' stuff down below. Make sure you hit those subscribe buttons, and we'll catch all of you right back here next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.